Even those people who look like they're doing good in the world, if they're not taking care of themselves, then doing good has an agenda. And anything we do with an agenda actually isn't loving. Love has no agenda. Love is coming from a full heart where we don't need anything back.
Welcome to the Inspire to Thrive podcast. I'm your host, Phoebe Lay, and in each episode, I will be sharing with you insights from either an inspiring person or myself to help you thrive and shine online and in person. We talk about all things marketing, relationships, money, business, growth, mindset, and more. So thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to seeing you inspired to thrive. Hello, everybody. Today, I am so honored to welcome Dr. Margaret Paul, a renowned psychologist, relationship expert, and co-creator of the transformative inner bonding process. Dr. Margaret Paul has spent decades helping individuals heal emotional wounds and build healthier, more fulfilling relationships. Not only that, she is also the author and co-author of several best-selling books, including Do I Have to Give Up Me to Be Loved by You, which has sold over 1 million copies worldwide and is used in college psychology courses. Her work appeared on major platforms, including The Oprah Show, and she's helped thousands of people across the globe through her workshops, speaking engagements, and one-on-one sessions. In her latest book, Lonely No More, we explore the emotional isolation that many people experience, and Dr. Margaret Paul provides tools for connecting more authentically with ourselves and with others. Through her inner bonding process, which integrates spiritual guidance with emotional healing, she continues to transform lives all across the globe. Dr. Paul, it is such a true pleasure to have you here with me today.
Well, thank you so much, Phoebe. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, so I wanted to dive in. I mean, I have so many questions to ask you, and I wanted to really dive into this today because your books are so profound. They have helped so many people, including myself, feel more connected and more whole. And I wanted to know, first of all, what inspired you to write Lonely No More and to create the inner bonding process? Was there a moment that made you realize this was a message that the world needed to hear?
Well, I decided when I was 5 years old to be a psychologist because my mother took me to a psychiatrist and he was terrible. And I said to myself, I can do better than him. And so that's the day that I decided to do this work. And I've been doing it for 54 years now. I am not tired of it. I love it. But I worked as a traditional psychotherapist for 17 years and I was not at all happy. I'd had tons of my own therapy and worked with others all that time. And so I just started to ask for a process or a teacher that would bring in a process that would work really fast and really deep. And that's when I met Dr. Erica Chopich. She's the co-creator of Inner Bonding. And we, of course, had to meet because we each had half the process. And we put it together. And that was about 40 years ago. So the process has been evolving for a long time. And as it's been evolving, I've been evolving, and my understanding of inner bonding has been evolving. And so as I learn new things and understand it on a deeper level, I write more books. And so now there's about 12 books out there because I just keep growing too as a result of the inner bonding process.
That's so amazing. I am so glad and grateful I came across your book. And in fact, it was one of your emails. And I think I remember that day I was sitting in the car with my partner at the time and we were driving into state. And I, for some reason, decided to check this inbox that I never, ever check. And it's full of, you know, all these emails that I get. And I remember that very day, your message just struck a chord. And I think that ever since I've discovered your work, there's just been profound change that's occurred in my life. And Margaret, you highlight the concept of inner bonding throughout your work. I'd love to know, you know, for those that may not be familiar with it, could you please take us through what is the inner bonding process and how can this process help people that have had decades of feeling loneliness and emotional disconnection from themselves? How can this process actually help adults to heal things like their inner child?
Now, so inner bonding is, it's a profound six-step pathway that anybody can learn, and it enables people to reconnect with themselves. We were born connected with who we really are and with a higher source of love, but most of us learn to disconnect from that. And so it's a reconnection process. That's what inner bonding does. It reconnects you with your true soul self. It helps you develop what we call the loving adult, which is who we are when we're open to learning. In inner bonding, there's only two intentions. One is the intention to learn about loving yourself and sharing your love with others. And the other is the intention to protect against pain with various forms of controlling behavior. Virtually all of us have learned to control. We learned many, many forms of control to get love and avoid pain and feel safe. But the part of us that learned to control is very programmed with many, many false beliefs. We call this the ego wounded self, and it has so many false beliefs that govern our lives and actually end up making us miserable, even though it's trying to make us feel safe, but it doesn't know anything about how to make us feel safe. It just tries to control everything. And that's the main thing that ruins relationships, people trying to control each other. So, in inner bonding, people learn to get present in their body with their feelings. They learn that their feelings have a tremendous amount of information for them about whether they're loving themselves or abandoning themselves, about what's happening with others, if somebody's a good person or a dangerous person, what's happening in an event. I mean, there's all kinds of information that comes when we tune into our soul. And we call our soul our inner child. It's not really a child, it's the enduring part of us, but most people don't think about taking responsibility for their feelings, and that part of us communicates often through feelings, but they do think about taking responsibility for a child. And so we teach people to reconnect, to open to learning, breathe into their heart. We teach them how to connect with their higher self, whatever that is for them, a higher source. And how to discover the false beliefs that they're operating from that are really limiting them, limiting their ability to manifest their gifts, to feel safe, to share love, to have a sense of self-worth. These false beliefs are so limiting. So inner bonding teaches people how to access those subconscious or unconscious beliefs that are governing their life without them realizing it. And in being able to access their higher guidance, they are able to access truth because truth is not in our programmed mind. Truth is in our soul. And so when we access that, we access truth and we access loving action for ourselves and others because most people have no role models. Our parents, my parents certainly were not good role models of taking loving care of themselves and being able to love each other and me. And if you don't grow up with role models, how do you know how to be a loving adult? And so we need a higher source of that role modeling. That's our higher self, higher power, whatever it is for the person. So inner bonding is a mind, body, spirit process. It teaches all of this as people learn it and practice it. And that's why it's so life-changing.
Wow, you talk a lot about the power of spiritual connection and healing. And for me, that's a source of unconditional love that nobody else, not even my parents, not even myself, I can give me. And I've always wondered, how do you work with people who don't believe in the divine or don't have a connection with God or a higher power or even the universe? How do you work with them and how can you elaborate how connecting with a higher, wiser aspect of ourselves actually plays a significant role in emotional healing throughout this inner bonding process?
Well, one of the things I often do with people is I have them imagine an older, wiser part of themselves, like themselves 500 years older. And they don't have to believe in a divine to use their imagination. And if they start doing this, they start to realize that they're actually accessing information, accessing love that they weren't able to access before. But I'll tell you a little story about this one man I was working with. And he started working with me and he said, "You know, I don't believe in anything. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in spirit. I don't believe in anything." And so what I said to him is, okay, when you're asking for truth and you're asking what's loving action, which is step four of inner bonding, just ask the air. Just ask the air. Just ask it. He started asking the air and he started getting answers. And he said to me, I don't know where these answers are coming from and I don't want to know, but they're really helpful. And so if people will just start to ask, even if they don't believe in it, what is true? What is loving to me? What would a loving adult do? What is in my highest good? If they just start to ask those questions, they're going to find that they receive some answers that they didn't know were there before, and they eventually get that there is an intelligence in the universe that's answering them.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that that's such a powerful tool. And, many people also struggle with, for example, like this morning, I was saying before we hit live that this morning, actually, my subconscious mind wanted to ask you a question and it came to me in a dream. In this dream, I was about to go on stage and I was about to share and speak to a live audience. Obviously, I knew this morning we were talking and I was very excited. And in my dream, my previous partner actually wished me good luck and said, all the best. But all these people, I think there were like about 100 people in the room, were congratulating me and saying, well done and excited for you and things like that. And I thought to myself, why is it that sometimes one person can hold such significant value in our lives that we almost in extreme cases need their approval? Or some people fall into patterns of control or manipulation or codependency. And sometimes people start to, they no longer loving themselves or even loving the other person. They're abandoning themselves. And in your book, you talk about becoming a caretaker and not a caregiver. Can you perhaps elaborate on why that occurs and how perhaps inner bonding can help people heal from those situations?
Well, most of us grow up with role models that are either a taker or a caretaker, or both of them are caretakers, or both of them are takers. But it's very rare I can't remember anybody saying to me, oh, my parents were great role models for taking loving care of themselves. When they were having a problem, they sat down and they went inside and they discovered how they were treating themselves. And, they took a whole lot of responsibility for their feelings. I don't know anybody who had that role modeling. And so we don't know how to do it. We're doing the best we can. And when I grew up, I became a caretaker. Because I was born as a very empathic and sensitive little girl. Both my parents were narcissists, and I could feel their feelings. They had no empathy. They couldn't feel mine. And so it was really natural for me, because I could feel their pain, to try and take care of their feelings. And so, it depends upon how you come in, what kind of soul you have when you come in. But a lot of people who are caretakers are empathic people who feel other people's feelings, and it hurts them to see people in pain, and so they want to do something about it, and so they become a caretaker. And I was taught, because my parents were narcissistic, that my feelings didn't matter. Their feelings did, my feelings didn't. A lot of us are taught that, or children take on the narcissism or the anger or the self-involvement of their parents, and they become like that. And so how we're brought up has everything to do with how we are in our current relationships. Inner bonding is so important in terms of creating loving relationships, because we all come in with this baggage. And because we were not taught to love ourselves, we are abandoning ourselves, which means that we don't know who we are. We don't have a sense of self-worth. Our self-worth is dependent on other people's approval, and especially people whose authority we value, like a partner or a parent or a boss. And so it's very easy when you were brought up with parents who did not role model loving yourself to become codependent and needy of other people's approval in order to feel like you're okay. Now, this is where inner bonding comes in, because so many people, They know nothing about who they really are in their soul. They think that they are their wounded self. They think that they're the part of them that learned to try and have control over getting other people's approval, either by getting angry, giving themselves up, being demanding or blaming in various ways, shutting down. And there's so many ways we've learned to try and get what we want. And caretaking is obviously one of them, giving ourselves up to get approval. Whereas when people start to practice inner bonding and they learn to tap into that higher source of information, they get to know who they are in their true soul self. They get to know how incredible they are because each of us is this wonderful, beautiful spark of the divine, whether you know it or not. And each of us has our own gifts. And so, as we learn to tune into our higher guidance, we learn to see the beauty of who we are. We learn to define our own worth. And once we do that, then we're no longer seeking approval from others. We no longer give authority to other people to define whether or not we're okay. I only give authority to my higher guidance. Nobody else has the authority to define whether or not I am good or lovable or worthy or anything like that. My guidance does that. And through my guidance, I bring it down into my soul so that my inner child, my soul, knows that I know who she is, that I know how incredible she is and how incredible everybody's soul is. And that's where the healing is. When we learn to define our own worth, that's a tremendous level of healing. And people can do that through inner bonding.
Yeah, amazing. I'd love to know, in your book, you also talk about practices that help us raise our energetic frequency to unblock, our inner wisdom and foster healing. You talk about creativity, you talk about the food that we eat. What are some ways, like, what are some very practical ways that people can raise their energetic frequency today after listening to this episode?
Yeah, so first let me say why it's so important to raise our energetic frequency. Our higher guidance, our spiritual guidance exists at a higher frequency than we do. And so they'll lower their frequency and we have to raise ours and we meet. And that's how we can connect and access the information. There's two major ways of raising your frequency. One is being in the intention to learn about loving yourself first, and then loving and then sharing love with others. That automatically raises your frequency, whereas the intention to control lowers your frequency. And then the other thing is the frequency of your body. And so if you're eating junk food, if you're eating a lot of sugar and processed food and devitalized food and factory farm foods and all of that, that's very, very hard on the body. That lowers the frequency of the body and it makes it hard to raise your frequency high enough to access your guidance. And so we teach that people need to love themselves and value themselves enough to feed themselves good food, because this body is the temple of my soul. And when you value yourself enough, you want this temple to be healthy and strong. And so you become very motivated to eat well, because, like at this point, I just can't even imagine living without my spiritual connection. I mean, it's just, like every once in a while, very, very rarely, like every 5 or 6 years, I'll get sick and that'll lower my frequency and I can't access. And it's like, oh my God, that's where most people live. And it's awful to live without that connection. And so I'm very motivated to eat really well so that I can keep my frequency high and to stay open to learning, because this spiritual guidance is always here. It's always here. And this is what creates a sense of safety. My guidance lets me know if there's something I need to avoid, something going on that is not good for me, something I need to pay attention to. That's what creates the safety, not the false beliefs of the wounded self. And so I've learned with a lot of practice to stay open to learning with my guidance and to eat really, really well, so that my frequency is high. And that's where the joy is too. Joy and peace and love and compassion. These are this is what spirit is. And so when you stay open, then you just receive all that, receive the truth and the joy. A lot of people don't have any joy in their life because they don't know how to access that from spirit. So those are the two things. Yes, being in nature raises your frequency. Meditation can, if that's your intention. Creativity raises your frequency. Listening to beautiful music, dancing, chanting, all kinds of things can raise your frequency. But you have to be in the intention to learn, and you have to be eating well, or all those things won't do it for you. Those are the two basic things. And I was really lucky because I was a sickly kid in my early 20s. I started reading about health, and that was a long time ago. I just had 2 days ago, I just had my 85th birthday. And so I've been eating well since I was 22 years old, all organic. I threw everything out of my kitchen and started eating all organic, all healthy. I've read tons and tons of books. I keep up with the literature. And so I've been able to maintain my health, and I'm very thankful for that. I'm thankful that at this age, I still have great health and vitality, and nothing's wrong with my brain. And I plan on continuing to work until I die because I love what I do.
Yeah, and you exude joy and vitality, that's for sure, Dr. Margaret. So happy birthday. I'm so
Thank
flattered to
you.
have you on the show because my birthday is also coming up as well. And I feel like every time it's our birthdays, it's another year to be wiser and more grateful. And it's a celebration.
Yeah. It is. It
Yeah.
is. I feel grateful. I feel so grateful that I learned how to stay healthy.
Dr. Margaret, I want to just go back to, talking about self-abandonment. And, in your book, you clearly define the inner child. And I remember when I read it at the time, it was the most profound thing because I think for a long time, I've thought, and a lot of people must think the same, that the inner child is a child in us. But you talk about how the inner child is, it's our feelings and our emotions, whereas there's the ego wounded self and they are different. And you also discuss how the wounded self in all of us can have narcissistic tendencies. It's how we're born and it's how we survive as babies, as infants. But as we grow up, some people understand or evolve and heal, whereas some people stay in their ego wounded self. They can become very manipulative, toxic, narcissistic, and you've experienced that with your parents. I guess the first question is, what's the difference between the two? Have I explained it? And, how can people that are trapped in feeling so isolated that they don't even know how to operate without, their narcissistic supply. And, how can someone like that start to heal?
Well, first of all, I mean, if they're an actual narcissist, they're not going to start to heal because they don't think there's anything wrong with them. And so, a narcissist is somebody who is incapable of empathy. But most of us have what I call garden variety narcissism, which is operating from the wounded self, but capable of empathy. And so they can start to heal through practicing the six steps of inner bonding, becoming aware of how they abandon themselves. And so there's four major ways that people abandon themselves. One is self-judgment. Many of us grew up, I grew up with a lot of judgment, and we absorb the wounded selves of our parents and other caregivers. And so because I got a lot of judgment, my wounded self was very judgmental of me. And self-judgment creates a lot of anxiety or depression or guilt or shame. And so most people do judge themselves from their wounded self without realizing it. And so part of it is becoming aware of what self-judgment does, of how abandoning it is, how bad it makes you feel. Another form of self-abandonment is just staying up in your head. Our feelings are in our body. And so if you're up in your head, you don't even know what you feel. And what happens with a lot of people, they're in their head. Maybe they'll get a sudden feeling of fear. They don't want to feel it. So then they turn to an addiction. They're grazing in front of the refrigerator, grabbing a drink, getting on the internet, looking at their phone, video games, pornography, whatever it is. They're going to jump right to it to avoid their feelings because they never learned how to learn from their feelings and how to manage their painful feelings. And so self-judgment, staying in your head, turning to addictions, and then making other people responsible for your feelings. And that's like if you have a child and you don't want this child. I mean, let's say that you want to be a parent and you have a child, you wouldn't want to give that child away to somebody else. But that's what we do to our inner child. We give our inner child away for approval, for attention, for love. And of course, every time we do that, we're basically saying to our inner child, you don't count. You're not important. You don't matter. I don't want to be the one to love you. Somebody else has to love you, not me. And so it's a deep form of self-rejection. And the more we abandon ourselves in any of these ways, the worse we feel about ourselves, and the more we need other people's approval to feel like we're okay. So it's really important to become aware of these ways of abandoning oneself. And I go deeply into that, as you know, in Lonely No More, The Astonishing Power of Inner Bonding, and in all the books on inner bonding. They just all deal with different aspects. But this is vitally important for people because most people are doing it unconsciously. They don't realize the level of self-abandonment that's happening and how they're creating their anxiety, creating their depression. Look how many people are on drugs for anxiety and depression, not realizing that those feelings have vital information for them about how they're abandoning themselves.
Oh my goodness, that is so true. Yeah, I mean, I think everything is feedback and everything is definitely an opportunity for growth and evolution. So, yeah, I love what you share in Lonely No More. It's the first book that I've read of yours, and I can't wait to get a physical copy because, obviously I'm in Australia, but the audiobook and the ebook helped me so much. I have so many highlights in there. And you now have a book called Do I Have to Give Up Me to Be Loved by You? And that book sold millions of copies worldwide. And, I know we're touching on the inner bonding process and all of that, but I guess the thing that I see a lot of is that people become people pleasers and they're not realizing it. So in other words, they're self-abandoning. And I guess I love that you talk about the fact that a lot of the time we do that because we want to receive love. So we're not even conscious of the fact that it's a selfish thing that we're doing. We're actually not being selfless. In the Bible, it talks about giving to your neighbor, but it also talks about giving to your neighbor and giving to yourself and loving your neighbor as yourself. And I think a lot of people kind of misunderstand that or forget the last part. What are some things that you've seen in, the people that you've worked with? What are some examples of that that you've seen and how inner bonding has helped them overcome that, that people pleaser in them or their caretaker or just, forgetting to put themselves first, which can feel obviously so unnatural for some people and so even selfish for some people because they've grown up doing that.
Well, and a lot of people don't understand the word selfish. We're being selfish when we demand from other people to give themselves up, when we expect other people to not do what they want and do what we want, and when we don't care about the effect that our behavior has on other people. That's when we're being selfish. And so, in so many relationships, like I said, there's the taker and the caretaker, and the taker can be very demanding. The taker basically believes that the other person is responsible for making them happy, and they'll be very demanding and blaming about that. The caretaker, the people pleaser, believes that they are responsible for the other person's feelings, and that when they take good care of the other person, then the other person will take care of their feelings, except it never happens. And so they're giving and giving and giving themselves up. And frankly, I work with a lot of people, especially women, who have been doing that. You know, they were taught that their job was to make their man happy, even if they have to give themselves up. And then they get sick. They get ovarian cancer. They get breast cancer because you can't keep giving yourself up without being drained. Eventually, you're going to get drained. And it's not so easy when you've been taught, like I was, that I was responsible for everybody else's feelings, but mine didn't count. It's not so easy to learn to make your own feelings matter. And yet, that's what needs to happen. If you ever really want to have a loving relationship, you need to develop that with yourself because we need to develop what I call the inner family, where we're connected with our guidance, our loving adult in our heart, our inner child in our solar plexus, and there's a flow of energy between our higher self, our loving adult, and our inner child. There's a connected state here, and there's a flow of love that's happening on the inner level. And what happens is we get all filled up with love, and we want to share that love. And that's a great joy, is to share love. What happens with a lot of people who want to be good human beings and they want to do good in the world is they'll bring the love in to the level of their heart. And then they'll send it out. They'll volunteer, they'll give money, they'll take care of people, they'll be people pleasers, but they're not bringing it down inside to their inner child. And so even those people who look like they're doing good in the world, if they're not taking care of themselves, then doing good has an agenda. And that is that people will see them as good, will define them as good. And anything we do with an agenda actually isn't loving. Love has no agenda. Love is coming from a full heart where we don't need anything back. We're giving for the joy of giving because we have filled ourselves with love and not with an agenda to get something back. So people pleasers always have an agenda and they think loving, but they're not.
That is so true. I resonate with that deeply. Dr. Margaret, what's one piece of advice from your work, from the Inner Bonding Process or Lonely No More or any of your other books? What's one piece of advice that you hope that will stay with the listeners long after they finish doing your courses or reading your book?
There's two things really that I advise people to practice. And one is learning to get present in their body. I call that having your inner baby monitor on, because if you have a baby and you want to be a good parent, you're not going to put the baby to bed and then go out to lunch. You're going to have a baby monitor on so you can hear when the baby cries. Well, that's what we need on our inner level. We need to know what we feel. And so practicing getting in your body. And the other thing is to practice just asking, what's loving to me right now? You know, when I had my first child, I was an only child and I hadn't been around kids. And I didn't know a lot, although I had read a lot. But when my son would cry, I would automatically think, you know, what does he need? And ideas would pop into my mind. And I didn't realize that I was asking my guidance for information about what was loving to him, but I was without knowing it. Well, we need to learn to do that for ourselves too. What do I need? What's loving to me right now? I ask that all day long about everything, little things, big things. What's loving to me? What would a loving adult do right now? What's in my highest good right now? So those are the two things that if you do nothing else, will actually change your life. To get present in your body with your feelings and to ask, what's loving to me right now?
I love that. Thank you so much, Dr. Margaret. I'd love to conclude this episode with some rapid fire questions. They are five questions that will get our listeners to understand you on a deeper level. And yeah, usually comes without thinking. So I'm sure your higher guidance will help you answer these as well. So, Dr. Margaret, if there was one thing that you cannot live a single day without, whether it's a physical object or something non-physical, what would it be?
The sharing of love.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And who or what inspired you to do what you do today?
I had a few mentors that I followed that I learned from. But, again, inspiration comes from spirit. For me, inspiration comes from spirit.
Yeah, I totally agree. Dr. Margaret, where do you think, where do you see yourself in 5 years' time? What else do you want to accomplish, or what else do you want to give to the world?
I just want to keep spreading interbonding. I want interbonding to get bigger and bigger. I want more and more people to be practicing it because I know how deeply life-changing it is, not just physically, emotionally, but spiritually, all these ways it's life-changing. So I'm just devoted to, with my podcasts and my books, and there's many ways that I bring interbonding out into the world. I have a wonderful master class that people from around the world come to. I just want to keep doing this.
Dr. Margaret, I'm just truly just so amazed and impressed by so many resources that you have. And yeah, they are so valuable and life-changing. I hope many of the listeners will, get their hands on it. And I can't wait to share the resources as well that we have in the show notes, including your ebook, your course as well. Could you tell us a little bit about your 30-day course that's coming up?
Well, I have many courses. So I have a 30-day course called Love Yourself, which teaches interbonding. I have a 30-day course called Attracting Your Beloved, which helps you to attract a partner. I have a 30-day course for relationships, wildly, deeply, joyously in love. I have a 30-day course for connecting with your guidance, unlocking your inner wisdom. And I have a 30-day course for learning to take care of your body and finding your passion and your health, because you can't really follow your passion unless you have health. So I've got a lot of 30-day courses.
Great, amazing. And for those that are listening, please jump on the show notes. I will be linking to Dr. Margaret Paul's website and also the courses that are available as well. Okay, two more questions. Dr. Margaret, what is one big aha moment or takeaway that you've recently had that has changed the way you see the world or changed the way you show up in the world?
With learning and growth, it goes deeper and deeper and deeper. And recently, I was aware of a level in which my little girl, my inner child, felt like she wasn't mattering enough to me. Because it's very easy for me to make other people matter and to be there for them. And so for me, this was a very big takeaway to just go to another level of making my feelings, my needs matter. And it's changed a lot because there's a lot more joy when you deeply allow yourself to matter.
Wow, yeah, that's absolutely true, and I think that's something we can all come back to. Dr. Margaret, if there were two books in the world that you could recommend, one which is your own and one that has changed your life that you've read somewhere by somebody else, what are those two books that you would put on the bookshelf in every school and curriculum?
Well, of course, I would love to see Lonely No More, The Astonishing Power of Interbonding everywhere. I would re see, I'm very, very into health and nutrition. And so a book that I think is really great is called Super Gut by William Davis. It's not an easy book to read, but it really helps you understand what it means to create a healthy body. So that's the one I would recommend.
Amazing. I'm going to have to check that one out. Dr.
Okay.
Margaret, thank you so much for jumping on this show and this episode. Thank you so much for the work that you give the world and for the inspiration that you take from your higher guidance and for all the ways that you contribute to changing and improving the lives of others. I'm so grateful that we've had this time with you today. I cannot wait to link your resources into the show notes so that other people can get their hands on Lonely No More and learn about the inner bonding process and be on your mailing list. I can't wait to also check out more of your podcast episodes because I find each and every one of them just so wonderful and there's always so much to learn. Thank you again for your time.
Well, thank you so much, Phoebe. It's been a pleasure getting to know you too.
It's been an absolute pleasure having you. And to the listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. We cannot wait to see you rise up to thrive and shine in life and in business. And if you want to learn more, just check out social media and Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, and make sure to stay tuned for the next episode. So thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to seeing you inspired to thrive.